We've seen the Apostle Paul speaking about the sufferings that he experienced as he followed the Lord. We saw that his ministry was constantly being challenged by people who were coming and saying, you know, Paul, you know, he's got a message, but we've got a better one. He says, no, the gospel that I brought to you, there's no other gospel, there's no other Jesus, there's no other spirit. It's the message I brought to you is attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he, the last time we were together, we saw all the things that Paul had gone through for the sake of the ministry. And he was pointing out that the ones who were coming to him, they hadn't gone through anything. As a matter of fact, they were abusing them. They were using them financially and in other ways. So Paul is writing to him saying, listen, you got to come back to the gospel here. You got to come back to the center. You got to come back to the truth. You need to understand what the gospel is all about. Part of this was the so-called displays of power that these people were saying. They were saying Paul was weak, you know, his speech was weak and everything else. And we're strong and we're mighty. And, you know, sometimes people can get dramatic and make it look like, you know, they're the cat's meow. I think I told you this story, but one day I was having meetings in Inverness and in Port Hood in that area, and a guy from Port Hood came to me and said, there's a new preacher in Inverness, and oh man, is he ever powerful. He's amazing. And I said, well, you know, what was he preaching on? Well, I can't remember anything he was preaching on, but I know he was in the middle of preaching and hollering, and he took off his jacket and he jumped on his jacket. And the guy was so impressed with that. And I said, well, that doesn't really impress me if he jumped on his jacket. I want to know what his teaching is. So I actually found out where he lived, and I went to visit this man, and I found out that he was actually a false teacher. He was he had false doctrine. He didn't believe in the Trinity. He didn't believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He was way out in left field. But just because he looked dramatic, somebody got swept up with the emotion of it and didn't really find out what this person actually was teaching. And Paul is addressing these ones and he's telling them, listen, I want you to know that strength is not in the person. It's not how impressive the person is. It's not how much they can holler or they can jump on jackets. It's whether they're preaching the truth. It's whether they're preaching the truth in the strength of God. And we're going to see that Paul brings this out a little further as he speaks about strength and weakness. But first of all, as he's talking to me, he says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, and this was not uncommon to speak in the third person. This is what this is. Paul is speaking in the third person. He's actually speaking about himself. He says, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. But God knows. Such a one was caught up in the third heaven. So as he's speaking, these guys were boasting about all these things. And Paul says, listen, you want to boast? Let me tell you something. Look at all the scars that I bear in my body for Jesus Christ. Look at all the things I've been through for the gospel's sake. And you also look at the message that has been preached. This is the one gospel that has been preached. Any other gospel is false and it's fake. And now what he says to them, now, besides all of that, if you want to talk about things that God has done, I know a person who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I don't know, or whether out of the body, I don't know. In other words, Paul was saying, I had a vision that I don't even know where I was at. I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, but one thing I know, I was caught up in the third heaven. Now, there are three heavens in the Bible. I don't know if you knew that. Can you tell me what they are? What's that? The starry heavens. Okay. Another one somebody said?
The air and the earth fly, and it's the atmosphere.
Okay, that's the atmospheric heavens.
Okay.
That's right. And where's the other heaven?
Where Jesus lives.
God's dwelling place. That's right. So Paul didn't say, I went up to the first heaven, which is in the atmosphere. And we've done that. How many people have been in an airplane, right?
Yep.
Not everybody, but you know, you've been in the first heaven. Good for you. What about the starry heavens?
Astronauts.
Yeah, there's been a few people up there. You remember the first Russian cosmonaut that went up there, and he says, well, I don't see any God up here, because he was only in the starry heavens. But then there's the third heaven, And that's God's dwelling place. And Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven. And he says, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which is not lawful for a man to utter. If I'm going to boast about anything, I'm not going to boast of myself. I will not boast except in my infirmities. But what he is doing is he's saying to them, listen, you think these people got something to share with you. I want you to know that God has done things and God has given me a message. And he affirms his apostleship in his sufferings and in his teachings and in his experiences. Those are the three things that he brings out here. The sufferings, earlier he gives the teachings, and then he gives the sufferings, and now he gives his experience. You see, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have some experience of God. How can it not be that you'll have some experience of God, some recognition of divine appointments, places where suddenly God speaks into your soul and does something? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to get caught up into the third heaven. You could be and have something happen. Jack shared even his own testimony that God came to him and there are experiences. And look for those, because God, you see, some people, they run on experience alone without the truth of the Word of God and they get themselves in terrible trouble. But if you're walking the Spirit of God and if you're serving the Lord, then you will have experiences of God. He'll touch your soul. You don't have to say 40 years after you're saved, well, the last time God touched me is when I became a believer. It ought to be that God touches you almost on a daily basis where you experience God. And Paul was speaking about one of those experiences, and mind you, it's a pretty dramatic one. And in that experience, he says, it's not even lawful for me to say what was said there as I was caught up into paradise itself. So we don't see Paul teaching about what he saw in paradise. It wasn't lawful for him to utter it. There are things in heaven that we have no idea about. We're not ready for it. The day will come. But what we do know is what has been revealed to us has been plenty for us to know and to grow in God and take it and go. But do not despise those kinds of experiences as we seek the Lord, because he can be involved in our lives every single day. He desires to be. So he speaks about these things because it is the work of God that did this, not the work of Paul. And then what he brings out clearly here, he said, of such a one I'll boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. Paul says, as far as who I am, that's not the issue. It's who God is and what God does and the reality of a walk with God. And so he says this, for though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. He's warning them that, listen, it isn't about me. And then he brings a little bit of a teaching out here, and he speaks about an experience. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. So what's Paul saying here?
Well, I would all see what was in heaven after he saw that.
He not only saw that, he says he had abundance of revelations. I mean, who has written the majority of the New Testament? The Apostle Paul. Who traveled all over the known Roman Empire preaching the gospel?
Paul.
The Apostle Paul. Who at that time? Pardon me?
Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he had a physical appearance of Jesus Christ, an encounter that labeled him as an apostle alongside of the other 12. Now, it could very well be that there were some who were coming along saying, well, you know, there were 12 apostles that walked with Jesus. Paul wasn't one of them. And it's obvious that there were people who were against the gospel. And being against the gospel, what did they do? They attacked the apostle. They were against the gospel, so they attacked the apostle. And friends, often those who are in leadership do come under attack. But if we come under attack for the gospel's sake, then we keep on going and we trust the Lord with it. But with all of the experiences and all the revelations of the Apostle Paul and all the glory that God had used him for, and it's likely to say that during that particular period of time, there was probably no one who saw more people reached with the gospel and saved by the gospel than the ministry of the Apostle Paul as he traveled to all of the Gentile areas bringing the gospel. And so he says something here. He says, so that I wouldn't become puffed up. So that I wouldn't become proud. That's what it says here. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Because of the abundance of revelations that I received, something was given to me. He says, as a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Something Paul experienced here was something that humbled him. It's something that set him back. And it was probably something that was used against him as they spoke about him, saying, the guy's kind of weak, you know. He does all these miracles. People have been healed by the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but he can't heal himself. He's got this affliction. And we're going to see what that affliction is, and we see it fairly clearly in the Bible. But it's spoken of as a thorn in the flesh, and it says it was given to the Apostle Paul. Now, the question was who it was given from. He says here, it's a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And so there was an affliction that Satan had brought into his life. And he says it was given to him, and so he decided he should pray it away. That's not a bad idea, is it? Pray it away. Let me ask the Lord to get rid of this. After all, it's a messenger of Satan. It's a thorn in the flesh. I want to get rid of this thing. And so Paul says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And so it looks like Paul said, I'm going to specifically pray 3 times for this issue before the Lord. Now, maybe he would have prayed 6 times. I don't know. But something happened after the 3rd time. The 1st time he prayed, guess what happened? Nothing. The 2nd time he prayed, guess what happened? Nothing. The 3rd time he prayed, guess what happened? Something. God spoke. But was it what Paul would have been expecting? Probably not. The answer that he got from the Lord was not probably what he expected. And I can tell you, it wouldn't be what a lot of other people might expect either, as they teach wealth, health, and prosperity. Instead, here's what happened. God spoke to the Apostle Paul. Now remember, it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. God permitted it to happen. And God speaks to the Apostle Paul. And his answer is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God says to Paul, I'm going to leave you weak so that it might be evident that it is my grace that's sufficient for you. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness. That's a different way of looking at things, isn't it? That's not the way we want to look at things. We want everything to go smooth. We don't want weakness. We don't want a thorn in the flesh. We don't want trouble in our experience. But that was the answer the Lord gave. That's quite an answer, isn't it? And so he said, therefore, I will gladly rather boast in my infirmities, that is in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'll take it. I'll experience it. I'll live with it. Now, let's just go ahead for a few seconds and we'll come back to this. A little further yet. You're going the other way. Yeah, you were going back. Go forward. So let's look in Galatians for a moment and see if we can discover what Paul's weakness was. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 11, he writes, I think you went one too many for me here. Go another one down, I guess. Go one more after that. Down again. Okay, go back up. I think I must have lost the slide I had.
This one, and then I'll go back.
Yeah.
Galatians 4:13.
Yep.
Galatians 4:13. Yeah. Is that it?
Yep.
You know it because of the bodily ailment that a priest you also to at first, and through my condition, and though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you have gouged out your eyes.
So Paul writes in Galatians, and he says, if it were possible, you would have taken your own eyes out and given to me. Given them to me. Paul had an eye affliction, and it was an eye affliction that was pretty serious. You go to the next slide. And that eye affliction made it so that, you know, that Paul wrote only one letter. And it was a letter to the Galatians. And he wrote it with his own hand. And he said at the end of this letter, he said, see with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Literally, he wrote the letter to the Galatians with large letters because his vision was that bad. Matter of fact, we know in Romans 1:1, Paul was a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. But in Romans 16:22, who says he wrote the epistle? Tertius. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. The only letter that Paul actually wrote with his own hand was Galatians. All the others were dictated. Some of them he actually wrote the salutation at the end. That's all. The salutation, 1 Corinthians 16:21, the salutation with my own hand, Paul's. 2 Thessalonians 3:17, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. He wrote the salutation at the end, but he didn't write the epistle. He dictated them to someone else to write them. And he makes it clear in the book of Galatians that he had such an affliction that if it were possible, they would have taken their own eyes out and given them to him. So here's a mighty preacher, and yet he has this terrible eye problem. An eye problem, tradition says something that he had this weeping condition with his eyes. Whatever it was obvious that he had poor visibility. And it was obvious that it was an affliction that was noticeable and that people noticed. And it made him weak in the eyes of men. And Paul's crying out to God, you know, I guess we all would, wouldn't we? Lord, take this away from me. I mean, after all, they're talking about me. And, you know, it's going to hold back the gospel. You know, I was able to shake off a snake bite. I was able to bring healing to those who were afflicted. I cast out demons out of people, and here I got this problem and I can't deal with it. Three times I sought the Lord, and the Lord's answer was, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Friends, God will allow things in our lives. He will allow afflictions. He will allow trials. And sometimes we have no reason to understand why. But I can tell you this. There's a reason given here for the afflictions of the Apostle Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul knew that he could be tempted to pride. He could be tempted to self-glory. He could be tempted to all of those things. And God knew it too. So God allowed what Satan thought he was doing, was giving Paul a bad rep by afflicting him and then not seeing that Paul could be delivered from it. Well, what's his testimony going to be like now? But the Lord said, I know what I'm doing, Paul. First of all, I'm doing it for your sake, that you might not get puffed up. And also, I'm doing it because my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. The power of the gospel is not dependent on the fleshly attributes of men and women. And listen, you know, that is great news. Because how many people here feel weak and inadequate? How many of you? Raise your hand if you feel weak and inadequate when it comes to living for Jesus Christ and standing with the gospel. That's the truth, isn't it? Don't we feel the shortcomings of our life? And often the weaknesses that we have, we feel like they're, you know, how can God use someone like me? But I can tell you this, God's strength is made perfect in weakness, and that ought to be a great assurance for you tonight, that God can use even you with whatever foibles you have, whatever troubles you have, whatever trials you're experiencing. God can use you. It isn't you your greatness that he needs. What he needs is a willing vessel. A vessel that's willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. A vessel that's willing to say, Lord, whatever, however you want to use me, use me. I remember reading by Sergei Kurdikov, who was persecuted for his faith. He was actually a member of the KGB, and he killed Christians and persecuted them and put them in prison, etc., etc. And finally, he became a believer himself. As he read some scripture, he couldn't understand why these people would suffer so much for Jesus. You know, they went in secret and spied and tried to find wherever Christians were meeting. I'm sure you've heard this story before, but there was this young girl, probably 18 or 19 years old, a beautiful girl. And it was puzzling. Why would a beautiful girl be found amongst these crazy Christians when she could have, you know, success or whatever? And he couldn't understand it, but he was angry. And he actually beat her to a pulp, thinking that'll stop her. That'll finish her. Now, that's weakness on her side, in a way, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, here she is getting beaten by this KGB officer. And then the second time they raided another group, which is in another part of that town, and he found her there again. He said, why is she here again? And he beat her even more. He said, this is crazy. Why would she do this? She looks like she has everything going for her, and she's with these miserable Christians. And of course, they would confiscate the Bibles that they could find, and he would burn them, get rid of them. And that was his task in the KJB. The third time, they were having a baptism down at the river, and they raided them. And lo and behold, there she was again. Three times. She didn't stop going, and yet they weren't a big, mighty, strong band. They didn't get up and say, we can take on the KJB. Take that, take that. Instead, allowing themselves to be beaten over and over and over again. This man was so puzzled by this, when he went back to the office down in the basement, they had a fireplace where they burnt Bibles and scriptures. He took the Bible and he was ripping it up and throwing it in the fire, but it grabbed his heart to think, why? Why does she do this? And he started reading page of the Bible. That's a dangerous thing to do. What happened? He became converted. And there is a picture of utter weakness as this girl's being beaten over and over again. But there is the very mighty power of God that uses it as a testimony into that man's life, and he becomes a believer in Jesus. Then he, as he grew in the Lord, he was caught in a pretty tricky spot, being a KJB officer who's supposed to go out and wipe out Christians, and now he's one himself. And it came to the point where he couldn't do this. He couldn't stay in that duplicity, and he ended up escaping Russia. He had to jump ship off of Vancouver, is where it actually happened, and escape with his life. But then he wrote his book and told what had gone on, and he said, if you ever hear me being found dead in a hotel room somewhere and that I killed myself, that's not what happened. He said, they got me because they've been chasing me around the world. But he did say this. While he was still in Russia, Bibles were so scarce, and they couldn't find them, like to find Bibles, and that's why they were burning them. And they were trying to stamp them out. He found out about this lady who was so crippled up that she could use one finger. And what she was doing, that's what she did from dawn till dark every day with that one finger, was type out the Bible. Type out the Bible. And those typing out that Bible, those Bibles, it's very likely that the one that he read was one that she had typed out. And so there's a picture of weakness, is it not, as far as the world would be concerned? I mean, we're living in a culture today where they would say, well, this is a waste of resources to have this woman around. Get rid of her. And yet the Lord uses weakness and he shows his strength there. Remember, we saw that as Paul wrote about treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. So are you weak? That's okay. God uses weakness. Don't be concerned about your weakness. Be aware that God is very strong and that he can use you if you are willing to be used by him. So the Apostle Paul is turning the tables on those who were thinking that the more you could display your mighty power and strength and everything else, and that this was going to be the answer. And Paul says, listen, don't listen to these guys. That's not the case. The real answer is found in the strength and power of Almighty God and not in the glory of men. Not many noble, the Bible says, not many mighty are called. God chooses the weak and the despised vessels of this world to bring his message out and to show that the glory belongs to the Lord. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. So I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in reproaches. I take pleasure in needs. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in distresses. Wow! That's not normal, is it? What a place to find your pleasure. For Christ's sake. Remember, these are for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise his holy name. May the Lord do what he wants with us. May he do whatever he chooses. And if we experience affliction, may we say, thank you, Lord. May we understand that God is on the throne and that he can use vessels such as us. Do not let your weakness become an excuse for not to serve the Lord and not to surrender who you are to him. There's no telling what God can do. And it is often, it will be in the smallest situations that seem insignificant. I remember my cousin telling me, he was working in Lewisburg. He wasn't a believer, but he began to be stressed about his soul and concerned. It's probably a good reason is that he was staying with people who were Christians. He was boarding with them. Anyway, he was coming back to Marguerite one day, and he was coming down the stairs, and this little boy, 12 years old, he says to Theodore, are you saved? Saved? He said, how can anybody know that they're saved? He said, no. He said, nobody can know that. And the little boy said to him, I know that I'm saved. The reason why I know I'm saved is because Jesus died for me on the cross. And that hit him like a ton of bricks. And he was converted. 12-year-old boy. What's that? God can use you, friends. Trust the Lord. Never mind worrying about how some guy is a great preacher and, oh, I could never speak like them, so I better not say anything. Never mind that foolishness. Take your weak person and present yourself wholly to a strong God and say, God, use me whatever way you choose. And you have no idea when or how he will use you. But trust him. He is faithful. And so this is a topsy-turvy world in Christianity. It's not the world's way. And these folks were coming and they were presenting the world's way to these Christians. And Paul is warning them, saying, listen, that's not God's way. You come with me. You walk God's way. And you'll discover the glory of God, the strength of God. And you will not be disappointed in this, friends. So, may the Lord have his way in your heart and mind. May he take you where you are. May you be willing to be used of God. And may you not think that I'm too weak or I'm just too this or I'm too that not to be used of the Lord. You have no idea how God might use you. And you have no idea when that fruit will come and how much of it there will be. We have no idea. Trust the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And if you have weaknesses, thank God for them and trust him to use you in your weakness. That doesn't mean you can't pray about things and ask the Lord. Sometimes he does deliver. Sometimes he doesn't. But he has a plan in the middle of it all. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that we will be men and women and children used of God. That we will not, Lord, despise the day of small things. But that we'll be willing, Lord, to be surrendered to you right now. And say, God, take me as you find me. and use me in any way you choose. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're here right now. Thank you that you're an awesome, mighty, powerful God, and there's nothing that's too difficult for you. And so we ask you, O God, that you will turn this area upside down through weak people like us. That, God, we will be surrendered and willing, Lord. That you will give us a mouth to speak, Lord. It may be with stammering lips, but Lord, give us a mouth to speak the truth to people. In all our weakness, O God, may we be used to glorify Jesus Christ. And may you be honored. And may we be those who learn, like the Apostle Paul, that it's not about us. And that we will rejoice in our weaknesses, that the power of God may rest upon us. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.